Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
We've been really enjoying a series here on the power of God, and it was lovely to have Brian and here with his friends, but also, you know, just to have his wife here with us, Kelly, and last week, and that was really a special Sunday for Tiffany and I, and we received the word that the Lord had given us through Kelly, and we're just really posturing ourselves to just come into that encouragement with some intentionality, which is hard to do when we're super busy. And so we've carved out the good part of a week, mid-January, where Tiffany and I are going to tuck away and just park it on that word of encouragement for us. We just really feel like that's a great invitation for us. And so with that, I wanted to just kind of move forward in this theme of God's power, the theme of power specifically. And so I warned you right after the break that I was going to make you say words to each other, like actually get in little groups of like two or three or four and talk. And basically the question is very simple. What is power and how have you experienced this type of power? So I want you to just go ahead, it's going to be brief, okay? So I'm only going to give you like 60 seconds each. So I'm pausing here to let you think about the answers. Okay, great. Now get together with two or three people and talk. What is power and how have you experienced this type of power? So does anybody want to share anything?
So I grew up with hydrocephalus and epilepsy. Hydrocephalus is lifelong and epilepsy was for the first 12 years of my life. And a plethora of other illnesses and diagnoses and things. I stopped having seizures when I was 10 and was officially considered seizure-free at 12 and then had two chest surgeries by the time I was 20. Basically had at least 11 procedures by the time I was 20 and spent, you know, the first 12 years of my life in and out of ERs and hospitals and weeks at a time in hospitals for neurological testing. And the details are endless. I could speak on this for like 2 hours. I like to call them medical adventures because at this point in my life, I'm like, you know, I can either look at it lightly and appreciate the goodness of God and the miracles he's done in my life and me personally, if anything, like joke about it and just laugh about it, because the only other alternative is to just be all depressed about it, and I don't want to do that. And I, over the past year or so, have felt more and more led to just share as a testimony, and because I've realized too, sometimes God doesn't put me through what he puts me through for myself, but to bring other people to him. Like I've gone through things and experienced things just to tell people the story, just for the purpose of sharing with them the love of God and bringing them to him without it really being for myself.
Thank you, Caleb. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot in that. And I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you for a couple hours and let you just bring it. Levi.
Before I start this, I want to say if anyone's ever told you that you can't use what you've learned in high school in your everyday life, I'm about to. So in civics class, we actually talked quite a bit about what power is. And I agree with this idea, but my civics teacher said it's the ability to get people to do things. Now, you can exert your power in many different ways. There's monetary power. You can, you know, throw money around and get people to do things like that. There's power through violence. You can threaten someone with a sword or a pointy stick, and usually that can get someone to do something pretty fast. Or there's power through hope. You can give person hope, and that can encourage them to do something. Like, you can pass that test, or you can pass that class, and with that hope inside of them, they will power through and actually be able to do that. So, in my mind, power is getting someone to do something, one way or another.
You cannot underestimate the power of a smile, because when you came up here with that smile, I couldn't resist. I had to hand you the mic. I was like, come on. Yes, Diane.
I was just telling Margot that a friend and I were more like cat and dog sisters. We were in the car together, and she was shooting bullets at me, and I'm like, but I do. And so I just prayed and said, no, this is not her. So I'm not going to play. I'm just not going to play. I zip my lips, even though I wanted to shoot back. And so the enemy so fleed. It was so awesome. By the time we went another block and came back into my house, we were friends again. I was like, wow, that was awesome. So that's simple. The resist Satan and he has to flee. I'm like, why don't I remember that on a daily basis every 30 seconds, you know? But anyway, I was just like, wow, I mean, right there, right then, you know? And it was just a change.
Wonderful. I'm sure every single one of you have an idea of power, have had some experience with power, not always positive. Some of you have discovered how it feels to live an empowered life. Some of you have struggled through long seasons of feeling disempowered. And so power is an interesting thing. I mean, if you think about it, and some people, you know, they have an issue with media like movies and different story formats. And I actually don't always have an issue with movies, even though I don't agree with a lot of what I'm seeing in the movie in the way of content. Like I'm capable of filtering that. And what we get down to then is the story. And isn't it interesting? Because, the reason why a lot of people have issue with like movies and that kind of stuff is because they imagine that the movie is like the message. Actually, it's the messenger. Like there's actually a bigger story that's being played out. And that's why so many of the movies that we watch or so many of the stories that really intrigue us, it has to do with some kind of power dynamic, whether it's good versus evil or the power of the human being to overcome adversity and, you know, to live, to survive, to navigate through. And so we're drawn to stories that involve, or at least, you know, hint to the dynamic of power. And I think, you know, a lot of us, we've experienced the power of certain things that have been the opposite of hope, you know. We've experienced and have been impacted by some really, evil intent, I guess. We've experienced loss. We've experienced the power of death. We've experienced the power, and I put it in kind of quotes here, the power of sin and the effects of sin in the world, of brokenness. And those things can hold power. And they can influence us. And yet we're coming into this realization, just as Jesus was encouraging his followers and also the religious of his day. Not all of whom were his followers, of course. In fact, that was, talk about a power struggle. So you have these religious who are being confronted by Jesus. And he's telling him things like, and this is a couple of instances in the Gospels, you are mistaken. So he's pointing out a mistake. He's like, you're getting it wrong because you do not understand the scripture or the power of God. they were operating under a lesser form of power, a lesser, I guess the word would be arche. And arche is where we get the word architect, hierarchy, like a hierarchy. And it has to do with who is the chief ruling authority. The chief ruling authority in the world, there's probably five of them. And if I'm spitballing here and I'm thinking of them, I'm thinking of the power of politics, the power of socioeconomic standing, the power of religion, the power of biological family, and the power of money or mammon. And those ruling authorities have a dominion on the earth, and human beings are under the influence of that. And the motivations of those different authorities, arches, are to get people to do things. And now you have Jesus, the chief architect, where we get the word architect is the arche, chief ruling authority. So Jesus, the chief architect, and his kingdom comes onto the scene, and his power, his authority, his dominion, his chief ruling capacity to exert power overarches every lesser form of power on the planet. And so every lesser form of power then is in a direct conflict with the chief overarching power of Jesus. This is the beautiful story of Jesus coming to the earth, and yet he does not come as a powerful figure initially. He comes quite humbly. So again, the power structures that define power for us, the ways that we've been influenced by power, and the definitions that have been imprinted on our souls as the result of being under the influence of those lesser ruling authorities, they define a form of power that is illegitimate when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's not by power or by force, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so the spirit of Christ holds a different type of power than the power of this world, right? So again, Jesus is confronting the religious of his day because he's like, you're mistaken. You're like, you're doing this all wrong because you don't understand God's power. You don't understand the overarching power of Christ, me, coming to the earth. You don't understand. You're not seeing it. You're trying to hold on to your niche of power. And you're trying to use that and assert that over the lives of others, and you're actually doing the opposite of what I want to do. I want to bring freedom. You're locking people down. And so we hear the warning that there will come difficult days when men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They will hold on to a form of godliness, although they deny its power. So you can see how religion, a form of godliness, can still be under the lesser ruling authorities. See what I'm saying? It's like religion is different than the kingdom of God. We can have a form of godliness, but deny God's power, the power of Christ, the power of the kingdom. We can deny all of that. And we're lumped in there with like lovers of self and lovers of pleasures. And there's a whole long list of things that, you know, people who fall into this category, they in fact, it says right here that they are always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I won't poke too many sticks at the religious, but I will encourage you, if you are a religious person, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there's a form of God's power that he wants us to understand. All right, so thanks for lumping up. Thanks for answering those questions. And so I would just declare right now that the most powerful force on the planet is God. In particular, the Holy Spirit. Because in particular, the Holy Spirit is the only God on the planet. If God is in heaven and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit has been released to us, then the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that enabled Christ to be the visible image of the invisible God, that Spirit is here. The Spirit of Christ has taken up residence in our lives, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's power. And so we understand that God is the most powerful. I mean, we would say that. We would champion that. We would declare that. And I would pray that each one of us would begin to experience it more and more as a reality. And I want to just say that there is a way for us to experience the most powerful force on the planet. And it's through love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. Therefore, the most powerful force on the planet, which is the overarching power of God's kingdom, it's what motivates the heart of Jesus. It's what is on the heart of the Holy Spirit as he's moving in and through our lives. The whole motivation of that is love. Can we get around that? All right, so as we move deeper into Advent, as we consider the meaning of Christmas, we each have an opportunity to encounter really the power of God's love fresh for us today. I want to turn our attention to Titus 3. If you have a Bible, go there. If you have an app, go there. This has been, and Tiffany can attest to this, probably over the last 25 years, one of the few, probably half a dozen passages that are real anchors for me. This has been my solace. When God our Savior, and I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation, yours might say when the kindness of God, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, or when the kindness of God appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his great grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. The kindness of God appeared. Jesus is the manifestation of God's kindness. And I cannot emphasize enough the power of kindness. I cannot emphasize enough that the kindness of God is, well, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? So it's in us. Like, this is part of the DNA that we have inherited as Christians. When we said yes to Jesus and we invited him to come into our lives and the Holy Spirit took up residence in our life, one of the natural byproducts of the Holy Spirit being in your life is kindness. And it's the kindness of God that actually leads us into a transformed life. It's the power of God through kindness that creates a safe place for us to say yes to him. And so the kindness of God is it's manifested in Jesus. And when the kindness of God appeared, he saved us. Now that word saved there, many of you have done word studies on this. You know the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. It's not only saved, but it means whole. It means healed and preserved well. So when the kindness of God appeared through Jesus Christ, he began a process of redeeming our lives and bringing wholeness to us and healing us. And it wasn't because of the self-righteous things that we could do. You know, that's what it says right there in the passage. It wasn't because of the good things that we had done or the righteous things that we had done. So I want to just take a moment, 60 seconds, to bring a comparison contrast to the types of love that we encounter on this planet. Again, remember, there are lesser forms of power, and some of those forms of power use love to motivate. But it's a lesser form of love. And we understand, as Brian even shared last week, that there are Greek words that mean different types of love, like eros and phileo and, agape and storge. I'll just sum it up in two contrasting ones, eros and agape. Eros isn't just about erotica. It's not just about that type of, pleasure-seeking type of love. It's actually any expression of love that has a hook in it. any expression of love that has some hope for payoff or some hope for something to be returned. A lesser form of power will utilize love, quotes, eros, as a motivating tool. There's some hope for payoff in that. There's some way that this is going to benefit the person who is exerting that type of power in love. And the contrast then would be agape, which is a form of love with no hooks in it. There's no hope for payoff. The love is expressed simply on the merit of that person having worth. They're worthy of receiving love. They're worthy of being the recipient of something that's going to be poured out of the kindness of God's heart, regardless of how that person responds to it or reacts to it. It's love that it's a one-way street for that type of love. And so as we're learning how to experience and know the power of God and to know the power of His love, we have to position ourselves to simply receive without having been trained for so many years by the world that the love we receive has to have some kind of like reciprocal payout. You realize that the disciplines that God has put for us, like reading the scripture and praying, silence and solitude, meditating on His word, all of these different disciplines are really opportunities for us to position ourselves to receive. They're in no way intended for us to earn the right to receive. They're always intended for us to be on the receiving end. And so I want to just voice that out, because if you quote unquote love anyone with a hook in it, they're bleeding out. That's kind of the opposite of the point. Like, the point is for them to be experiencing wholeness and healing and encouragement and hope because of the love that you had expressed to them. So I'll let that sit with you and let you and the Holy Spirit navigate through that. If you're taking inventory and you're realizing, man, most of my love has motivations for hope for return or payoff. And I would say that that's not the kind of love that God is extending to us. And I think this is really one of the reasons why we have a hard time receiving God's love, which can be a crux for most of us, is because we're misinterpreting what that type of love is. And you're also misinterpreting your worth when you do that. So I just want to encourage you, you are worthy of receiving the full, unfiltered love of God. And He does this not because of the good things that we've done, but because of His mercy. His mercy. I've had a number of occasions myself personally. I mean, I could tell you stories. It's pretty amazing when you anticipate experiencing something harsh from God and what you receive is something loving. It's amazing to me. Like, I do a lot of counseling with folks, and there's parts of their story where they don't want to go into, and once they do, they're not always convinced they want to invite Jesus into that part of their story. And when I ask them why, honestly, for a lot of us, it's because we're afraid of what He might say. We're still under the impression that He's a Jesus who brings condemnation, not to the world, but to us. Like, we can love other people. Like, we can encourage them that God is for them, that there's no sin too great, until we get to our own story, because shame has a way of distorting what Jesus is offering us. But when we allow ourselves to become shame resilient and we invite Jesus into that part of our story, His mercy shines so bright in that place. I've witnessed it firsthand for myself and for others, the mercy of Jesus to come into that place and to realize that He did not come to condemn you at all, not even one bit, but to bring sozo, to bring wholeness, to bring healing and restoration. It's amazing. Moving through Titus again, just the power of God's love. I mean, He washed away our sins. And this dynamic ministry of Jesus to make us clean and whole, stand before God Almighty, clothed in righteousness. I mean, that's what Titus is telling us here. So this is the extent of his love, that he would remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. And this is a grace gift that he's given to us. We know 1 John 4:8, where it says God is love. Read down a couple of verses. In verse 10, it says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And I would add there, and the effects of our sins. And the effects of the curses that, you know, are laced in that sin. The effects of shame. The effects of any dis-ease that brings that sin brings to our hearts. I mean, Jesus would take all of that away. And this is his kindness. This is the kindness of God on display for us. And so he gives us new life through the Holy Spirit. You know what I love in there in Titus 3 where it says, which he pours out generously. If you really dig into that word, it's without measure. There is no end to this. It's like endless stream of generosity that God would be pouring out his very presence into our lives, the most powerful force on the planet, the Holy Spirit. Come on, Jesus, you're doing this for us. Like, what an amazing God that we have, that he would give to us his very power, his very love. It's just so incredible to me. And I draw from real life experience and story when I say that, and you've experienced it too, many of you, and some of your most difficult times in life, you've just experienced the outpouring of God's goodness over your life. Please, do not put up your shields. Receive it. Again, the most powerful force in the world is the love of God on display in the life of Jesus Christ. And what is able to separate us from that love? Neither death nor life or angels or demons, fears for today or worries about tomorrow. And can I add, how about our shame from yesterday? Nope. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus. So Jesus, as we move into this holiday season, as we're in it, like we're smack in it, I pray that you would help us receive the kindness of God. I pray that we would experience a fresh outpouring of your love, a fresh outpouring of your very spirit into our lives. And I just want to bless you, friends. May your quiet times be full of the Holy Spirit. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you can see and know the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. May you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. May you have eyes to see what the Spirit... May you encounter like visionary experiences with Jesus. I pray that you would know at the core of who you are the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And I pray that the roots of your life would go deep into that. What a gift. And draw from the power of God in that. Be empowered by it. I want to bless also, my sense right now as I'm praying for each one of us is that our gift of discernment would be heightened so that we would know when we are under the influence of a lesser ruling authority. And that we would renounce any agreement that we've made with it. And that we would renounce any demonization that has occurred as the result of us believing false things about it. And I pray that as we repent and let that go, that we would come into agreement with the power of Jesus and his ways, the power of his word, the power of the gospel, which is the power to save us, to bring wholeness to us. And the gospel is summed up here in Titus 3. So I bless you as you meditate on that this week and as you move towards Christmas and family times. And I pray that your hearts would be empowered by love. So I bless you with the love of God that is in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' strong name, I pray this. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.